A News. I'm Bob Levicky. The Mountain Valley Pipeline gets more fines for violating erosion and sediment rules. The General Assembly is expected to consider the rapid expansion of data centers next year. And can the U.S. Postal Service handle a flood of mail-in ballots this fall? This is the WMRE Daily for Thursday, July 25th. State environment officials ordered the Mountain Valley Pipeline to pay more than $30,000 for violating environmental regulations during a three-month period before the pipeline began operating. Cardinal News reports that's the fourth consecutive fine of this type on the pipeline. A report released on Tuesday said the Virginia Department of Environmental Quality levied the penalty after it found nearly two dozen violations of erosion and sediment control rules. Nearly all problems were corrected within a day. The DEQ's quarterly review covers March 12th through June 5th, so that predates when the 303-mile gas pipeline from West Virginia into Southside Virginia began operating on June 14th. Governor Glenn Youngkin has appointed Meg Bryce, daughter of the late conservative Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, to serve as the newest member of the Virginia Board of Education. Bryce, a college psychology teacher, has been criticized for taking her children out of Virginia's public schools following the pandemic. Bryce told the Daily Progress that she took them out of Murray Elementary School in Albemarle County after losing faith in the school's leadership during the pandemic. Members of the General Assembly are expected to consider the rapid expansion of data centers next year. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Northern Virginia has long been the global capital for data centers, but now they're expanding to the rest of Virginia. According to the Piedmont Environmental Council, Virginia already has about 200 data centers, with applications pending for 100 more. Tim Sawinski at the Sierra Club says these facilities are a drain on the power grid and the water supply.
We have virtually no substantive public policy protecting customers from data center growth. Right now, we are giving them a massive amount of subsidies, billions of dollars in tax benefits, and huge amounts of land. And what do we get in return? Well, we don't get a discount on our two-day delivery for Amazon, and we don't get a reliable energy grid.
Some members of the General Assembly are sounding alarm bells about the rapid growth, including Senator Danica Rome, a Democrat from Prince William County.
This last session, I introduced five bills to fight back against this industry. Basic stuff like telling local governments, hey, before you approve of a data center, you need to have performed your assessments ahead of time. Even that became a controversial bill that couldn't get out of committee.
Later this year, the Joint Legislative Audit and Review Commission will release a report looking at demands on the power grid and the water supply, in addition to potential solutions for noise abatement and stormwater runoff. That report is expected to prompt legislation that will be considered next year. Michael Pope.
State election directors nationwide have been voicing concerns that the U.S. Postal Service will not be able to handle large numbers of mail-in ballots. The election directors are worried that ballots will not be delivered in time to be counted because of past problems with the system. The Associated Press reports that includes consolidating mail processing facilities and disrupting service. Virginia was one of the first states to use regional mail consolidation, and because of that, local election officials told residents to deliver their primary election mail-in ballots in person because of the delay. Earlier this month, Virginia Public Radio's Brad Cutner spoke with a few voters at a bus stop in Richmond about the presidential race. So how are voters feeling now that it's likely that Vice President Kamala Harris will be the Democratic nominee? Brad has this follow-up.
It's less hot, but just as humid. But that doesn't slow down LaRon Gibson, a self-employed mechanic and faith leader who said he wasn't impressed by Vice President Kamala Harris taking over the Democratic ticket.
I didn't see anything that she's done. Nothing.
Gibson also said Donald Trump's administration was better for the economy. He'll likely vote for the Republican nominee. Apache, a disabled former building maintenance worker, said he last voted for Barack Obama in 2012. But Apache also took issue with Biden's tough-on-crime record in the 80s, and he's not too sure about Harris, the former Attorney General of California, either.
I don't trust her.
Duarte Cruz, a utility worker, said he voted for Biden in 2020, but he wasn't thrilled to vote for him a second time. Now he's worried about Project 2025, a conservative plan for a major overhaul of the federal government's functions and benefits. And while Harris is more appealing, he wants to make sure the current Veep appeals to everyone.
Don't just be up there doing it for the black people and doing it for the women.
Student Adelaide Dempsey also wasn't looking forward to voting for Biden a second time. She called Harris an improvement, but...
although it is a little bit frustrating that we didn't really get a proper primary process.
Still, Dempsey said she was voting blue no matter who. In Richmond, I'm Brad Cummings.
Virginia's reproductive rights advocates are throwing their support behind Kamala Harris's presidential campaign. The vice president is promising to pass federal protections for abortion access. Virginia has seen a 30% increase in out-of-state patients seeking abortions since 2022. That's according to the Virginia League for Planned Parenthood. And here's Congresswoman Jennifer McClellan.
One state having a ban impacts another state that doesn't. We see that in Virginia. And so really pleased to see her connecting those dots, talking about the importance of federal action or inaction, frankly.
Former President Donald Trump says the issue should be left to the states. He has claimed credit for nominating conservative Supreme Court justices who formed the majority that overturned Roe v. Wade. Well, finally today, this week marks the 99th Chincoteague Island Pony Swim. WHRO's Connor Worley reports.
People from all walks of life have descended on Chincoteague. And despite the rainy, marshy conditions, folks camped out in lawn chairs and blankets, draped in ponchos and raincoats. Why does this yearly tradition attract a crowd in the thousands? And more so, why do people care about some ponies swimming? For William Crone, it's his first time at the event. He trekked to Chincoteague all the way from Ontario, Canada. He says the old-fashioned nature of the event is what makes it so magical.
It's just a callback to older times that were simpler and easier, and it's wild animals as well, right? So everyone loves wild animals.
The Coast Guard lit the flare and the swim began. It was a sight that Sean Kirby couldn't believe. She, her husband, and friends all made the trip from Ohio for their first glimpse of the ponies. She says this is such a unique event that it's no surprise people flock from all over.
Nowhere else do they swim ponies across, and then they sell some of them off so that the herd doesn't get so big. It's just, I think it's awesome.
As the final pony reached its destination, the dreary clouds parted and the sun beamed onto the animals as if to signal another successful swim.
Connor Worley reporting for WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Thursday.